This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 317. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
It's DC's giant closeout, Everything Must Go. Me am not enjoying Earth 2, The League of Just Us Cows, A Whiff of Bat Gas, and Robots, Robots, Robots. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, August 17th, 2014. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes and leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out our Tumblr at tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, we've got 2 weeks of comics to cover, so let's get started with... DC will be running another Gimmick Fest in September. In this case, it's going to be the Future's End 3D one-shots.
Oh, I hate that idea.
And of course, this is all just to cover up the numbers, and so you can't do an apples-to-apples comparison with the first month of the New 52. But before all that, they are clearing house and finishing out storylines. So here are three titles that are biting the dust. Birds of Prey number 34 by Marks and Rocha. So this title was pretty much doomed by multiple crossovers, failed plot lines.
It was like, let's do this. No, let's do that. No, it'll be this way.
No consistent direction. The Team 7 title took it off track before that title quickly failed. Changing the creative team in midstream did not help. I have to say I did enjoy the guest stars from Suicide Squad in the last couple issues, although not enough to pick up that title.
Yeah.
Black Canary was inexplicably given a jetpack recently, and they decided in the last issue they're going to give Strix her voice back, which is a terrible thing to do.
Well, that really set her apart from all these other female characters in the DC universe.
Exactly. The title just got lost in the shuffle.
I probably won't miss it too much. I would have missed it, and in fact, I do miss the older version of Birds of Prey. This one, not so much.
Yep. Superboy number 34 by Cooter and Jimenez. So this is yet another title was pulled in too many directions with a parade of writers going from DeFalco to Lobdell to Jordan to Wolfman to Cooter in 3 years.
Do you remember when they said they were going to try to keep the creative teams on titles?
Yeah, they said that, didn't they?
Yeah.
You have the whole Ravagers title fiasco. That's another one that just kind of went down a rat hole and didn't really work. Plus, it was being pulled into the Superman crossovers whenever they needed them, and otherwise they were trying to stay away from the Superman stuff. It really made the title a mess, and it wrapped up with a multiple continuity Superboy battle.
You know, it was really bad enough that they had two Superboys or whatever. I don't even know the difference between John and Khan.
Yeah.
I mean, what the heck was that? It was just a stupid, stupid ending to a title that got completely lost.
Yep.
Another one I'm not going to miss. Another one I would have loved had they had a good story. I love Superboy.
Yep.
I loved the old Superboy.
Mm. World's Finest number 26 by Levitz, Kirkham, and Collins. So here's a title with a consistent storyline and pace. It just essentially ran out of storyline since the two leads are now going to Earth 2, and that's, of course, Power Girl and Huntress. Now, DC, you see what happens when you keep the same writer on a title?
Yeah, it really keeps its direction, and the pacing is good.
I really did enjoy this title, and we'll see how well those characters assimilate into the Earth 2 title and the upcoming Earth 2 Futures End 3D, whatever they're going to call it, miniseries.
My question, is the Earth 2 title going to continue, or is it switching to Earth 2 Futures End?
As I understand it, Earth 2 will continue, and then the Earth 2 World's End, whatever it's going to be called, is 5 years in that continuity's future.
I but it just seemed like because we're going to talk about Earth 2, number 26 in just a minute.
Indeed.
But it seemed like at the end of that one, they implied that it was ending, but...
No, I don't think so. But speaking of, Earth 2, number 26 by Taylor and Scott. So the whole gang's now together to stop the massive boom tube from sucking in the Earth, and Val Zod keeps Superman at bay as the team breaks out Mr. Terrific and Miracle, and they shut down the boom tube. Bedlam is disabled via a stroke that Aquawoman generates, basically generates in his brain, because she can control fluid and just kind of moves the fluid around his brain until he has a stroke.
Now, did they sort of imply that Aquawoman and Batman had something going on?
I think they did.
Okay.
Yeah. Superman begins to turn to stone. Oh, he's actually Bizarro. I should have figured this out a while ago. I can't believe I didn't.
Uh-huh.
That's what the deal was. He's the Bizarro of Earth 2, and that's who Darkseid took over. So he turns into dust as the storyline wraps up, and the remaining Apocalypse forces prepare for their next battle. And apparently, this World's End miniseries is going to be after another war occurs, and this is we're going to see the war in the main title, and then we're going to see the aftermath of the war in the miniseries.
Well, see, that's why I'm looking at the last page, and it says, next, 5 years later, Mr. Terrific fights for his life in Earth 2 Future's End.
Future's End, which is the miniseries.
Yeah.
So they're kind of tying that up, and now we'll see.
So is it going to alternate with this one or something? I just don't know why they would have said it at the end there.
I think it's just a promo for that title.
Okay.
And now we're going to continue on. We'll see what they do with Earth 2. It'll be very interesting to see how they can actually have both titles running
right
simultaneously.
Because it seems like one would be a spoiler for the other one.
Well, yeah. Tiny Titans number 3 by Baltazar and Franco. The kid-friendly miniseries continues as they check in on the Rock of Eternity and they discuss the whole Shazam thing and kind of explain that. And magical snow cones ensue. Hoppy the Marvel Bunny attends a League of Just Us Cows meeting.
But leaves when Ma Kent comes out to milk the cows.
Right, yeah. While Robin plays with the Shazam magic and ends up turning Freddy into various other heroes.
And things.
And things, yeah. So they end up asking the wizard for a new treehouse, and he gives it to him. But of course, this one's made of rock because it's the Rock of Eternity. Just a very cute title. It's a shame it's just a miniseries. Maybe they'll do more miniseries after this, but this is just
yes,
the middle of it.
It is. It's a darling little series. I highly recommend it for kids and adults alike.
Indeed. Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet number 3 by DC and Dynamite by Smith, Garman, and Templeton. So again, this is all based on the Adam West continuity plus the Green Hornet show continuity coming together, both done by the same production company. And this issue does actually slow down things a little bit because the sidekicks are saved, but then they're taken hostage. Batman and Green Hornet have this temporary truce. And, okay, we're going to go to the Batcave in order to figure out where the sidekicks are. But to do that, Hornet has to get this whiff of bat gas.
Which is like turnabout because, of course, he had Green Hornet gassed Batman earlier.
Right.
I don't know.
Which apparently left a bad taste in Batman's mouth.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Robin and Kato fight to the death. They're just kind of going through the motions for the bad guy's amusement. Because one of you, we're going to let go, and the other one's going to be dead.
Yes.
And we get a shot of Batman and Green Hornet doing the bat climb up a wall. They rescue the sidekicks, but the bad guys get away. The Caped Crusaders figure out their next attack. But Hornet and Kato seem to be doing the attacking. They are actually breaking into this place that...
But you know it's a preemptive break-in.
Yes, exactly. That's why they're there.
It really has the flavor of the TV series. You get that. If you liked the TV series, you would love this comic. And
right.
I think that you do.
Absolutely. And it's Kevin Smith doing the writing, so... Astro City number 14 from Vertigo by Busiek and Anderson. So we learn what happens to all the robots that are built to fight heroes. You know, what happens once they're just turned into scrap by the good guys? We learn that this nice old lady collects them in the middle of the desert, who has some type of terrible past that we keep getting little flashbacks to, but it's not very well explained. because she just kind of pushes those memories away.
She doesn't want to remember it, yes.
So she fixes the robots up and removes the evil programming. So they're just kind of her friends now. And she runs this roadside attraction. So people come out and like, hey, and here's this one robot, and this was used in this one battle. And she
and when the people come out to see them, it all looks like all the robots are not operating.
Yeah.
But then at night, they
all
kind of
turn on and do stuff. So she ekes out a living until her ne'er-do-well nephew shows up and decides she could be making a lot more money. He convinces her to go on trips to collect more robots while he goes to fix up the place. And he gets greedy and apparently sells a robot to somebody. We don't know who.
Well, I think all along he's either using the various robots to commit crimes or colluding with somebody who is using the robots to commit crimes.
Clearly. And the robot gets into this battle and the cops track it back to her and arrest her. And the nephew is making some sort of deal with someone. Again, he's only really looking out for himself throughout all this.
Well, he had been convinced himself that whatever he was doing wouldn't hurt his aunt.
Right.
And now that she's been arrested, he's desperately backpedaling with this person that he's been dealing with.
Right.
So I love this comic.
Right. Busiek continues to do what he does best. These stories about civilians in a superpowered world. It's really not about the superheroes at all. They're in the background in most of this. In fact, the only real storyline that's really gone on to superheroes was the previous one about Winged Victory. And that was really much more superhero-based. But even then, a lot of the story was about civilians.
Well, and it wasn't about her being a superhero.
Right.
It was about her dealing with her life outside of being a superhero, really.
Mm-hmm.
I like this because there's not, you know, you go into the DC universe or the Marvel universe, and there's so much backstory and so many changes and so many in-jokes and everything that it's kind of hard to get into it as a beginner reader.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of characters referenced in Astro City, but you don't need to know who they are or their backstories.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kind of archetypes, and you kind of get it enough that you don't need to know all that.
Right.
I mean, Busiek at the same time is building this tapestry if you care to get into it, but you don't have to.
Right.
All right, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
It's Guess Who's on the Cover of Entertainment Weekly. And Mark, I'm going to give you one clue and tell you that there were two different covers this week.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to push the button.
Okay. TV related?
Yes.
So they're both TV shows?
Yes.
So it's two different shows?
Yes.
Okay. Are they in any way related?
No.
Okay. So it's two shows that are already on the air?
Yes.
On broadcast networks?
No.
Okay. Are they online?
One maybe.
Is.
Yes.
One is. Well, is it primarily online as opposed
yes.
to... Okay. So one's primarily online and one is a cable show.
Yes.
And cable show on premium pay cable or regular cable?
You know, I didn't actually check, but I'm pretty sure it's on premium pay cable.
Okay. So like Showtime or HBO.
Yes.
So, okay. So the first show is primarily online. So something like... House of Cards?
That's correct.
Okay, so House of Cards, and so that's going to be Kevin Spacey?
Correct.
Okay, so the second one is on premium, and that, is it genre related?
No.
Okay, is it historical?
No.
So it's set in the current day?
I would say it's kind of the same genre as House of Cards.
Same genre as House of Cards on premium. Okay, so,
In that it's a political show.
Political show. Is it Veep?
It is.
Hey.
That was a big clue, though.
Yes, that was a huge clue.
So who is it?
So it's, Elaine.
it's Elaine.
Yeah.
Who is Elaine?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yes,
jeez,
okay. You'll have to take a look at those covers because what they did was they had Kevin Spacey dress up as the character from Veep and Julia Louis-Dreyfus dress up as Kevin Spacey's
oh,
character
that's cute.
From House of Cards. So,
okay. Just want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. Call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9 SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.